Welcome to Pixelated Audio, Episode 1, where we take a look at the Golden Axe series by Sega.
Welcome to our show, Pixelated Audio. I'm one of your hosts, James.
And I'm one of your hosts, Brian. And the song you just heard was Battle from Golden Axe, the first game for arcade. Basically, this show is something that, you know, we've been kind of kicking around for a few years, actually. And we have this really strong love for video game music and retro gaming. Yeah. And so, you know, we kind of kicked this idea around for a long time, like, oh, you know, we should do this podcast for video game music. And there was already some podcasts that were doing a similar thing. But, you know, it came to the point where we were like, you know, there's something that we can still offer that's different, that something that we can kind of, you know, still show our love of video game music and play some stuff that isn't being played elsewhere, and maybe some stuff that has, and kind of take a look at some of our favorite titles and the way that, you know, we grew up remembering these games, and also, you know, our experiences replaying them.
Right. And it's an opportunity for us to dive a little deeper into a world that we already are passionate about.
Yeah. So if you're listening, chances are you have a very similar passion, and it's something that you'll probably enjoy. So anyways, before we get too deep into some of the music, today we're going to be talking about Golden Axe series from Sega. And it came out in 1989 for the System 16B. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Golden Axe 1, Golden Axe 2, Golden Axe 3, and The Revenge of Death Adder.
Right, we're not going to focus very much on any of the spin-off titles, things like for the Game Gear or the Golden Axe fighting game, which was called Golden Axe Duel.
The Duel, yeah, that's right.
But they
probably fit better with some other shows that we have lined up. Right. So it was kind of like one of those decisions where, like, should we have it in? Well, it's part of the Golden Axe series, but let's kind of save that for another episode.
And we're already biting off a pretty big chunk with four games, plus one of them being an arcade and a console port.
Right. So, you know, let's go ahead and kind of dive into Golden Axe 1. I had a lot of good memories with this game as a kid. It came out originally in the arcade in 1989, and then it was ported later to the Genesis and this huge number of other systems. Europeans, the Mega Drive in Japan as well.
And it also came out for home computers and Wonder Swan and PC Engine, things like that.
That's right. And then they even re-released a compilation for Sega CD, which we will have a track from. So let's get into maybe some of the design aspects of the game. Do you want to share your notes with that?
Right. The game was designed by Makoto Uchida, and it originally debuted on the System 16 arcade hardware.
That's the same as Shinobi and same stuff that of that time, right?
Right. And some of the other games that Makoto worked on was things like Altered Beast, which was a big one, Alien Storm, Dynamite Cop, just to name a few.
You know, when I was researching Uchida and the game development, it actually was, I actually read that he went up to the higher-ups at Sega and kind of pitched this idea to do a Dragon Quest, like Dragon Quest RPG and stuff like that was really, you know, kind of booming at that time in the industry and was, you know, selling millions of copies and or tens of thousands of copies. I don't have an exact number in front of me, but he really loved that idea, and being a fan of like Conan and these, you know, kind of
those 70s
action
of,
you know, medieval fantasy movies. He pitched this idea that he wanted to do a Dragon Quest like RPG, and I'm not sure if it was the one, like, it ended up being something he wanted to do for the Game Gear or anything like that, but it probably got shot down.
Right. I can't see that being an idea for an arcade that would have worked very well.
They probably, and Sega was so rich in the coin-op market at the time that it was something that, you know, they probably didn't want to deviate too far from.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't realize how heavy Sega focused on arcades while others were focusing on consoles.
It's like they had like two separate divisions, right. One for their console, home console, where their cash cow was the arcades. But mm-hmm. this was the, you know, 80s and 90s
when arcades were big.
Still really relevant, right? All over the world even. So let's see. Before we get into the first block of tracks, though, and what we're going to do each episode is we're gonna talk a little bit about the games. We're also going to play some of the music. And this time we're going to kind of play a series of different tracks you know, let you know about the composers and stuff like that. And this composer, this game, Golden Axe 1, was credited by or composed by two people primarily. The first one was Toru Nakabayashi. And I believe he also did soundtracks for
Altered Beast with Mikado and Dynamite Cop.
And that was a year prior. So,
right.
Okay, awesome. So the other composer credited was Y Dolphin, in quotes, Takata. And I did some research on him, and he's a very hard guy to learn about because I read some VGMDB, you know, mm-hmm. very old thread, something that he had... people had interviewed people that had worked with him, and nobody seems to really remember.
It's like his name was out there, but it's hard to do a lot of definitive research.
He doesn't have a whole lot of albums that, or, you know, games that he's contributed to, but, you know, stuff like
this. Right, I only found Columns 2 and E-SWAT, City Under Siege, but, I mean, we still don't know the level of involvement he had for those games.
So, according to a few different resources I found online, his name is actually Yo Takata, and basically that's, other than him, you know, doing these few games, there's not a whole lot of information about him. So the next block of tracks, or the first block of tracks we're going to get going, you want to go ahead and read those off, James?
Sure. We're going to start with a song from the Sega Genesis port. It's called Wilderness, and the second song that you'll hear is Turtle Village 2, Round 4 from the arcade.
And Wilderness, that's the first level,
yeah,
right?
It's very early in the game, and it kind of has a little bit more of an upbeat sound to it.
And then Turtle Village, and that, I think Wilderness is actually one of those songs. I mean, if you played the game before, you're going to hear this track, and you'll be like, oh, yeah,
this is Golden Axe. Yeah.
And so it kind of sets the tone. And it is like, we were saying, like the first level or so of the game.
Well, this is a good soundtrack that has a cohesive sound throughout the whole album. It kind of, it sets the tone for,
and it has this really strong, like, kind of underlying, like,
kind of like a drum beat, like bass,
this drum percussion kind of thing going on throughout the whole thing, almost like a march, you know. And then the next track, what was that?
Turtle Village 2. I think that one comes in right towards the end of the second area.
Because in the game, it has very clever level designs.
Right.
You know, for as basic as the game kind of is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the second level.
Yeah, you leave the wilderness, and then you get on to the back of a giant turtle that has a city on its back, and it is like a moving city, which I thought was a really clever idea.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I think there's at least two songs in that city, and I think we're playing the second one from that.
And that occurs right after the bonus round, right?
Right.
Okay. And that bonus round is a pretty goofy area. You just basically kick gnomes. But anyways, let's go ahead and fire those up.
Right.
tracks you just heard were Wilderness for the Sega Genesis Mega Drive and Turtle Village 2 Round 4 for the arcade, both from Golden Axe 1.
Right.
You want to talk a little bit about the game tracks that we just heard?
Sure. As you may have noticed, the Wilderness track actually is it's kind of an upbeat song for, you know, a barbarian sword slaying type game.
Yeah.
And I feel like since it shows up so early in the game, it's kind of like you're excited to go on this adventure to avenge
tone.
Your family.
It definitely sets the tone for the entire game. It kind of keeps you. I mean, and a lot, you know, for coin-op too, a lot of people would pop in a quarter and start playing and maybe never get to the next round.
Right.
So that first track was really very important to kind of keep their, kind of pique their interest in and keep going, you know, with it and want to keep playing. It was a good track.
It's kind of an optimistic feel to it. You know, you're kind of starting out and you're ready to go. Whereas in Turtle Village 2, round 4, I feel like it starts to get a little bit more somber. Kind of like maybe this adventure is not going to be as easy as you thought it was going to be.
And this is already you're in the second level of the game.
Yeah, so for a lot of people, this may be about as far as they're going to get. Yeah. They run out of quarters by this point.
But it has that kind of, those kind of synth sounds like in the back, the don don don, and
right.
I think that's really rad. Like I could kind of listen to that, like, you know, quietly all day long. Rad.
The Turtle Village 2 track, round 4, is one of my favorite tracks from this album.
Yeah, definitely.
It has this real big progression of kind of a build up, and I really like that.
So kind of getting back into Golden Axe 1, the game, the story takes place in this land called Uria. It's this high fantasy medieval world.
Yeah, it's a very Conan like you know, very
it's basically
dangerous.
Conan, yeah. Unlicensed version, and
right.
they didn't have to pay royalties on anyways. So the main antagonist is Death Adder, and he captures is it the king and queen,
the king and his daughter.
Oh, king and his daughter. Okay. Yeah,
and just a hostile takeover comes in, kidnaps him, and forces the country to follow him, or he's going to execute the king and his daughter. So
okay, so where does the golden axe fall into place there, James?
The golden axe is actually it's like something special that this kingdom has. It's I guess it's a very special weapon and gives you powers, or amplifies your power or something like that. And he takes it over, so you don't play with a golden axe. So your characters don't have a golden axe, but the villain, he has it. He's taken it over.
Yeah, and if you look at the title screen, actually, it's pretty interesting because the kanji, the Japanese characters on there, it reads Senpu, and Senpu is literally battle axe. And inside the characters, it's really clever because they added like a broadsword,
right.
A hammer.
So it still has the strokes of the characters.
Was there an axe too? There's an axe too, I think.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so it still has the stroke of the characters and everything, and it's pretty clever. But it doesn't say golden axe, you know, in the characters,
right.
But it's actually, you know, battle axe. But it's pretty clever how they did it because it was written in gold. So
yeah.
You know. All right, let's talk about the characters a little bit in the game.
Okay, Golden Axe gives you three characters to start with. You have Axe Battler, Tyrus Flair, and Gilius Thunderhead. They're all pretty generic, but they have different strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
Axe Battler, he is a barbarian that has a broadsword, not an axe like what you would expect him to have.
Right.
And he's a little bit more of the well-balanced character. He has a decent attack, like a melee attack, and he has decent magic. Whereas Tyrus, she has better magic.
She's an Amazon, right?
Yeah, she's an Amazon. She has a better magic abilities, but she does not have as well of melee attack. She's a little bit weaker than the Axe Battler. And then you have Gilius Thunderhead, who is a axe-wielding dwarf.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, he's...
I always, you know, like when I was a kid in the arcades, like he was always the one that I picked. And I don't know why, I just always loved playing as him. He was the strongest character, right?
Right.
He's
the
strongest character.
Yeah, he has the strongest attack and the weakest magic. But he just kind of looked like a...
And he had the axe.
He was a bearded gnome, you know. He was basically, that's what he looked like. And he was running around. And he could do a lot more damage. And for me, I'm not really big on magic type stuff. So I kind of lean more towards melee characters. So he was definitely a character I like to play with a lot.
Yeah, me too. I never really played as... Tyrus much or Tyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Much.
I tried her out, but I'm not a big magic. Like
I always stuck to Gilius. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's, you know, kind of my experience with that. But
right. And you could see just from the marketing that Axe Battler was kind of, it seemed like they kind of felt he was the main character of the game. He was always kind of up front.
Front and center.
He was the first one on the title or on the character select screen that showed up in the front.
And he's also on all of the artwork, I think, pretty much right. throughout the whole, whether you're looking at the arcade flyer, which we'll post in the show notes.
Right.
The Genesis version, all the art was pretty much featuring him, right?
Right, right. And if you think about like how we mentioned that Uchida was very heavily influenced by action movies, especially Conan, Axe Battler fits the Conan profile a lot. He even looks a lot like some of the straight from Conan.
But he was that kind of well-rounded all-around right, character. Right. And like you said, his magic was, you know, about decent. Kind of midway, whereas Tyrus had much higher magic levels. And to collect magic in the game, you're basically picking up these potion jars or potion bottles.
Yeah.
And when you fill up a certain number of slots, let's say you collect like 8 and you have 4 slots, yeah. You kind of, when you unleash it, you have more, you know, potency to that magic
right, right. Yeah,
effect.
There's, when the grid that shows how many potions you have, they're kind of broken up. Like, I think for one potion, you can actually do magic, but it's not going to be very strong. And then to do the next level of difficulty,
you have
magic,
like three or something like that. Yeah.
Whereas,
and so, that was across, I mean, I think all the games pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I think they did I the think magic.
They
the
were
same.
Consistent with that.
Yeah, cause it was always like that. And, like I said, Axe Battler, he was the most well-rounded. So I think for magic, he could collect up to 5 potions. I think Tyrus could get 6 and Gilius could only get, 4, I think, was right. was his max. And it was pretty neat. You would hit the magic button and they would do a neat cutscene that was kind of attack everyone that was on the screen, which was kind of nice.
Awesome. So let's get into the next block of tracks. The first one we have, these are all from Golden X one still. And the first one is The Road of the Dead. Round three? Okay. And that's from the arcade version. So Toru Nakabayashi. And then we have Battlefield, which is the first boss.
Yeah.
First boss. So that's the first boss right after you're listening to Wilderness, that first track that we played in the last mm-hmm. block. And then it immediately goes into this during the boss battle. And then we have Old Map. And Old Map is kind of like the break between kind of like levels. Not necessarily levels, but...
you're like, going to a new area.
You're going to a new area, like a new yeah. zone. And
like how we mentioned, you went from the wilderness to the back of the turtle.
So
it would show you on the map.
Onto that eagle.
So it would show you on the map that you're leaving the woods. It would draw a red line.
There wasn't much story to this game. I mean, there's like you could probably sum it up in like a paragraph, which right. is kind of what we've done.
We did, yeah.
But, you know, like the map scene was kind of like one of the characters were writing a letter, like, or right. a journal
they
saying
a
like, "Hey, this is where
marking.
This is where you know we just crossed this area. We're moving on to this next area." And so that track is the music that plays during that part in the game.
Thank you.
right, so the tracks you just listened to were Road of the Dead, Round 3, Battlefield Boss, Boss 1, and Old Map, the map theme.
Awesome. So what are your thoughts on those tracks, James?
It's a pretty good block of, with a lot of variety in between the tracks. The Road of the Dead, the sound definitely, I feel, fits with the title. It has a lot creepier feel to it, and it's kind of stressful.
Where you first run into like the skeletons, right?
Which you find that they're not fun to.
They're like harder than the bosses at most.
Right.
Most of the time, they have the same moves as you. They have the running charge attack and the I think they can pick you up and throw you and stuff like that.
Yeah, and hit you over the head. And they also, you have to kill them twice. You know. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
So, and they
right.
have they take a lot of damage and. Yeah. Once you kill them, they break apart and then they reassemble. So.
Yeah, and then we got the battlefield boss, which is pretty cool. It's got this really like ominous bass, kind of throughout the whole track, and you know, with kind of these highlights of trumpets and stuff every now and then, kind of fade in and out, and then it has this, you know, kind of syncopated hi-hat hitting going on in the background. And I think it's a pretty good track, and it sounds like it's a good boss battle for sure.
Right, you know, it definitely fits with, it has a little bit of a different sound, a little bit more of an inspirational epic feel, like you're in not a normal battle.
Yeah, and then the map thing, I love that track. It would be a very good like pause select screen kind of song.
Right, I almost wish it was longer than the 40 seconds it has.
Yeah, so it has these really cool kind of church bell kind of things going on. It still has that eerie kind of,
it's
kind of sinister kind of sound to it. But it's a really cool
and it doesn't have the same deep bass sound that a lot of the tracks that we've listened to have. So it kind of gives you a break, not only from playing,
rather than the bonus.
Yeah, and you know, and
that bonus track. Can we fire that up a little bit?
Yeah, I think that would be a good one to.
Yeah,
listen
no
to.
The bonus track in this game, like we kind of touched on earlier, is the only break you actually get in the game, right?
So, other than the map area.
Than the map area. And you want to explain it? I'll fire it up here.
It kind of hit me pretty hard. I wasn't expecting it because the game is pretty dark.
Here we go.
And this almost feels really silly. I mean, as you can tell by the music, it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
So after you beat the level, you find yourself at a campfire, and you're kind of lounging there, and it's dark. And all your potions are sitting around you that you still have from the end of the level. And then these little gnomes run in, and they steal them. And you're kind of like, oh no, like he just took everything. I need this. Yeah. And
but then you have the opportunity to get back what you lost.
And they're running around like crazy.
And then you can actually come out ahead, right?
Yeah, so you can end up with more than
what you started. Yeah,
which I think that was the intention, but it kind of gives you a little bit of a panic at first.
Yeah.
And it also gives you one of the few opportunities to gain health in the game. So I think in the second bonus area, you start seeing a green gnome, whereas before it's only been a blue one. And the blue ones give you magic, and the green gnomes, if you can hit them, they'll give you health. But unfortunately, for when I played, I already had full health when I would run into the green gnome, so I didn't really get to benefit that much.
No benefit there, but at least you got to maybe walk out with some extra potions, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Unless you were Gilius. Then you would have been maxed out early. Anyways, so wrapping up Golden Axe 1, we're going to play just two more tracks for you. And the first one is Death Adder, and this is his theme music. It's the last stage, and this is from the Genesis version. And then we're going to play Turtle Village 1, which is right when you first enter Turtle Village for the first time. So it's different than the first track we played, or the second track we played that was Turtle Village Round 2, or Turtle Village 2 Round 4. This is also from the Sega CD compilation.
Right, so it's going to have a little bit of a different sound.
Yeah, this was actually Redbook Audio. So it doesn't have, it's not using the same FM synthesis chip that the Genesis and the arcade use, the YM2151 for the arcade. It's actually Redbook. So we wanted to play this track because it's, even though it's Golden Axe 1, it's still different than the other, it has a different feel than the other ones.
Right.
So let's go ahead and fire that up. Once again, this is Toru Nakabayashi and Y Dolphin Takata.
Okay, so the tracks you just heard were Death Adder for Sega Genesis and Turtle Village 1 for Sega CD. I really felt that the Death Adder track was a really good track for an end boss type battle.
Right. And, you know, I think the Genesis version was the only, and the PC one, right, was the only one that actually, Death Adder wasn't the final boss. Wasn't the final boss. Yeah. So you would, what you do is you would face Death Adder and then right immediately after defeating him, spoiler alert, you know, if you haven't played the game, spoiler alert. But anyways, after defeating Death Adder, you would immediately go in and fight Deathbringer,
which was his mentor.
So, and I don't know if the music was the same for Deathbringer or not, but no, it's a good track. And then after that, you get Turtle Village 1 from the Sega CD, and you have that, once again, you have that Red Book audio. You can tell it doesn't have the same, you know, that kind of grungy Genesis kind of sound, arcade sound that they did with the chip.
Yeah, it's definitely upgraded.
Yeah, but well, it's just a little bit more mellow, a little bit more flat sounding. It doesn't have the shrill kind of sounds that you get from the other versions. But it's the whole Sega CD version of the soundtrack is actually pretty good. So I liked it a lot. Yeah. That's why we had to throw that one in there. That brings us into Golden Axe 2. And so let's go ahead and move along to the second game in the series. That was released in 1991 by Sega, just 2 years later. And the composer for this game is actually a pretty heavy hitter, right? So this is Naofumi Hataya. And
has quite the list of games to their name.
Yeah. So we got, of course, Golden Axe 2, Golden Axe 3. We have Nights into Dreams for the Sega Saturn, along with Burning Rangers, which we're definitely going to have
that's
a
another full, great one.
That's going to be a full episode sometime on Burning Rangers, because that game is just too amazingly awesome. So, and then also did a lot of the Sonic games.
A lot of Sonic 2, Sonic CD, even more modern ones like Sonic Colors, Generations, Lost World, and even the Mario and Sonic Olympic games that are
was that for the Wii version? Was that the London?
I actually did both.
He did all of them.
And the most recent one.
All right, that's awesome. No, so really heavy hitter for this soundtrack, and the sound is very good in this game. So we're gonna go ahead and get into those first tracks, and we have let's see, on here we have
three songs, the title theme, Dark Gould's Chamber, and Ravaged Village.
And these are all from the Genesis version versus the Mega Play, which was actually ported from the Genesis to the arcade.
Right, so it went backwards, or reverse this time. It was primarily made for the Genesis, and then it went to the arcades.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and fire it off. We'll be right back. right. That was a good set of tracks. I think I got to say that I like Golden Axe 2 soundtrack far better than the first one. Now, the first one is good, but Golden Axe 2 is probably my favorite, has my favorite soundtrack.
It has a little bit more of a refined sound.
Yeah, to it. And that first track, once again, the tracks that that you heard just now were the title theme of Golden Axe 2 for the Sega Genesis, then the Dark Gold's Chamber, and then Ravage Village. And that first track is so awesome. It starts off this very ominous kind of, again, yeah, sounding, kind of gearing you up for it. And then it breaks into this kind of like funk, which is so awesome. Yeah, it's very
in your face, and then it goes into a whole different direction.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of one of the things about this composer. Very, very creative and works, mm-hmm, likes to work outside of the bounds of the space. And moving into the Dark Gold's Chamber, do you have any thoughts on that?
That one is kind of your main boss theme again. You know, he's the main villain, so it definitely has a very dramatic feel. Like maybe a little bit more time is spent on that one because it's the big one. That's the end, and it kind of definitely rewards you for getting that far in the game, which is not an easy feat.
Yeah, so. And you know, all these tracks are really, you know, even if you didn't play a lot of them, you could still appreciate this game. And the Ravage Village too. Like I love that. I love that track. It has
like an urgency to it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the first round of the game, right? I think it's the first level, and it's the most memorable one for me. I really like that track. So,
we picked those three songs just to show the variety that this soundtrack has. I mean, there's many other great tracks in the soundtrack.
Now, Fumi, you know, there's so much, like we said earlier, like there's so much variety, and this game has a lot more variety than the other ones. Now a little bit about the gameplay and, you know, the reception for this game. A lot of people were, it was kind of half and half. It was split, right? So you had some people who were like, okay, this game is the same kind of game. I mean, really it is. Like you have the three characters to choose from.
The same from the first game.
You have the same, you know, weaknesses, strengths of the characters, and the same kind of magic system around them.
No additional moves.
Now,
really, or...
I had a few notes actually, because when I played through this game recently, I actually felt that it's actually a much better game, even though it is. And I could see why people are saying like, oh, you know, it didn't really do anything new, and it didn't. But at the same time, I think they kind of refined some of the things. Like in the first Golden Axe, like if you hit A and B or attack and jump at the same time, you do this kind of backswing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the problem with it is it takes long to execute. It's not really that effective. Mm-hmm. But they changed it for this one. So in Golden Axe 2, when you hit A and B at the same time, not only do you you attack, but then you jump and turn around and swing attack. So you actually are attacking from both ends.
Both sides, yeah.
So it's a lot more like that for me, and it's very quick motion too. Mm-hmm. So that for me was a move that I just used throughout the whole game.
Right.
It was most effective.
And one of the things that I really liked that they improved in the second game was whenever... In Golden Axe 1, whenever you would kill someone, they would have their death scream, and it would stop the music.
They were basically straight up lifted from the Conan movies. In fact, there's a YouTube clip that I'll put in the show notes. We won't play it here, but like we'll put it in the show notes. We'll put a link to it, and mm-hmm, you can see it kind of shows the difference between you know, the ones that were in, you know, the arcade version versus, you know, Rambo, and it's definitely the same sound.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, in the first game, when you'd kill someone, the death scream would stop the music. And so, I mean, and you're killing guys constantly, so it gets kind of annoying. In Golden Axe 2, they fix that to where the music continues to play, and you got guys dying.
I didn't notice that.
It was something that irritated me instantly from Golden Axe 1.
Then, the music would cut out and then go back in.
And it was like only silent, and you hear the scream and then back to the
And
music.
It was only on a mono amplified stereo, I think, for the arcade anyway, too. And I'm not sure if it was for the Genesis or not.
Well, but it was just the Genesis. The arcade didn't really seem
for Golden Axe 1. So, so that was the only block, actually, that we have for Golden Axe 2. And then we're going to move on to Golden Axe 3. We only have two tracks because... Well, let's face it, Golden Axe 3 was kind of a
It didn't
kind of a
do
sinker
so well,
for and you know, when I played a little bit of it, and it's very bland. I mean, this do you have the release date?
1993.
Was it 93? I mean, so this is already was, 4 years.
Yeah. So I mean, and when you compare it to some of the other games that came out, if you look at just the console ones, there was definitely a progression.
I didn't even play through it, but to be honest, because it was like, here we go again, kind of thing. Like,
right. I mean, it looked a little bit better, but yeah, there wasn't very much of a difference. And if you take into consideration all the different versions of the game that were out and the span of time, there wasn't much of an improvement.
Now, what were there were different characters, right? Because Gilius made a return in this.
So this was the first game that didn't have the original characters. And you got a total of 4 characters. But only 3 playable. So Gilius is the only returning.
But you can't play as him.
Yeah, he's more of like a mentor.
He kind of introduces, yeah.
Yeah.
And then this game was only released actually in Japan, right? It never actually made its way out.
Right.
So as far as I can tell, was it released on SegaNet or anything like that?
I think it did come out on SegaNet.
So it was a download, kind of, mm-hmm. If you were one of the,
one of the few people that were excited
about
it.
One of the 10 people that actually had that at the time. And I didn't. So I never played it. And when I had the opportunity, now I still didn't play it. So
right. And
I played the first 10 minutes. I was like, okay, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, they did some interesting things. And some of the character choices were interesting. I mean, you had a guy named Kane Grinder that pretty much looked like Axe Battler. And I think that when they localized it, they started just calling him Axe Battler. I don't think there was a big difference. And then you had another female, Sahara Burn.
Sahara Burn?
Yeah, which is another very uncreative name.
Yeah.
And she basically took the place of
They were just looking at things. She's from Sahara?
Yeah, so it's got to be hot.
And what
there.
Does she have? What is her magic? Oh, it's fire? Okay, well, burn.
Yeah. And
put two and two together.
And then you had Proud Krager, which was a giant. So they went the opposite direction.
Oh,
instead of a dwarf,
that's right.
You got
that's
a giant.
Right. That's right.
But the biggest exciting character that they added was the half human, half panther character, which was Kronos. And he was a pretty interesting character design.
Yeah, he's all in a black leotard or something
It might just be his body.
Oh, okay.
So he had a panther head, but more of a human like body. And
The moves were exactly the same as the other characters. Did he have a weapon, or was I
think no?
Was
he just used his claws.
Just claws, right? Mm-hmm.
But he was arguably the most powerful character because of his dash attack. This is a game. They also added additional moves. You could do combo moves. You could do.
So they did refine it.
You got
more.
Blocking. You could do all kinds of different additional things.
But the magic was roughly the same.
Yes, I think that was this pretty much the same. They must have liked
sure.
that. So I think it's time to get into some music from Golden Axe 3. We have 2 tracks coming for you. They're the only 2 that we're going to play from this game. They're Bloody Street Stage 4B and Death Mountain Stage 5A.
And once again, the composers for these tracks, Naofumi Hataya, Tatsuyuki Maeda, Haruyo Aguro, and Tomonori Sawada. All right, so you just heard Bloody Street, Stage 4B, and Death Mountain, Stage 5A. And these are both from the Mega Drive version of Golden Axe 3. Any thoughts on those tracks?
They definitely are a little bit different than what we've heard a little bit before, especially compared to Golden Axe 1.
Yeah, with all these different composers, it's very, you know, one of the hard things about, you know, enjoying video game music is it's very hard to look up these composers sometimes. A lot of people aren't even credited, especially mm-hmm. in the older titles. So it's hard to pick and find out who actually did what track or what track they, you know, kind of combined their efforts on. But you get a very different style in this game than you mm-hmm. do from the other ones. It's very fast paced.
Very fast paced.
And yeah. It doesn't really seem to fit with the other two games.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily fit with the style of the game being a, you know, a barbarian side scrolling, you know, hack and slash game, whereas this feels like it could fit into a futuristic racing game almost. And
yeah,
you know, I mean they're great tracks, but they just seem like they don't quite match up with the
visuals.
And
this came out in 1993?
Right, 93.
And, you know, this was one of those games that actually had the worst reception, I think, because, you know, already 4 years later, we're seeing the same type of game. The graphics are pretty identical. Right. But I feel like even the world, like the kind of scenery is mm-hmm. actually worse than the previous games. I feel like they're like these really desert kind of yellow, especially that first level is very, very bright yellow, and mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of color, not even a lot of detail going on.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, even though it's a bit of a different story, it's not very different in the same, you know, same respect. It's not unique at all. It's a lot of the same. I mean, one and two were pretty much the same game, and this was a little bit different. They tried to be a little different, but it still wasn't very much.
And that's why you hear that very, you know, kind of distinct difference between, you know, the first and second game mm-hmm. versus this third. But the gameplay is very much the same. Now, the soundtrack itself is very, very good. It's a good soundtrack. Right. And it's very, you know, high action paced. You know, mm-hmm. it could almost be like a racing game.
Yeah.
But the game itself, unfortunately, just didn't hold up that well. If you do ever run across a version that you can play, I mean, try it out and see what you think. But
yeah, I mean, if it came out as Golden Axe 3 was the first one, I mean, it probably would have had pretty good reception.
In 89, yeah.
I mean, it just didn't change at all.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, if you were going to play any of the Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3, I personally say Golden Axe 2 is probably my favorite of those.
Right. It's a little bit more refined, but it's, you know, it's really good.
It's exactly. All right. And moving right along, our final game that we're going to cover today is Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder. Now this game is, it actually came out before Golden Axe 3, but the graphical enhancements and improvements in the game were just superior to anything that right. had come before it.
Because they switched back to the arcade hardware.
Yeah, and the colors are much more vibrant. The sprite detail is just worlds better.
Right, and they made the characters bigger, so they had a lot more room to play with designs and actually creative decisions.
The music's really good. It kind of goes back to, you know, Golden Axe 1 and 2, kind of that sound.
Right, it definitely fits the look of the game, the idea of the game a lot better than Golden Axe 3 did.
Right. Do you want to talk about the gameplay a little bit?
Right. I played this game and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot smoother. The controls were a lot better.
And we'll post some pictures along with the mm-hmm. our show notes for this episode, so you can kind of get an idea if you don't have access to the game.
All right, and it's nice to see the, you know, almost like a sequel to the first one with The Revenge of the Death Adder. And so you get four characters. They're all pretty different from any of the other games that we've played before. You have Stern the Barbarian, who fits the Axe Battler prototype. You have Goa the Giant, which you had a giant in three, so it seemed like they kind of liked that idea of having someone that's really large and
powerful. This came out before Golden Axe 3.
Right. And you have Dora the Centaur, which I thought she was the most interesting character design because she was a centaur. I mean, we hadn't seen that in a game.
We'd only had like kind of humanoids at this point. Right. And now they're kind of throwing in. Well, you know, the other thing about spanning across the whole series, the game is allows you to mount different creatures. Mm-hmm. One being like in the first Golden Axe, you mount these little kind of chicken kind of looking things.
Yeah, that, drill dragons.
I forget what they're called, but they're the same enemies that you fight in Altered Beast. So mm-hmm. they kind of make a return, which is kind of like an Easter egg. But the centaur, when she mounts stuff, she does it a little differently than everybody else, right? So mm-hmm. she...
instead of straddling the beast that she's riding, her horse legs disappear, and she has human legs, and she rides the animal side saddle. So both of her legs are on the same side of the animal, and as soon as she hops off, her centaur legs come back. So I don't know if that was just a way to make it so that all characters
could
ride.
Yeah, it was probably just to kind of even the grounds so that everybody could, you know,
right.
have something. But there's another character, right, that brings us in.
He was probably one of the most interesting additions to any character throughout the whole series.
His name's Little Trix.
Yeah, he's a young elf, and he looks like a cross between like a Super Saiyan Gohan with his blonde hair. And you know, big red cape like Tetsuo from Akira.
But he's got that pitchfork.
Yeah, and his face looks very much like Guile from Street Fighter II. He's kind of got like a big brow, it seems like, in the sprite. But yeah, he has a trident, and his magical ability.
I like to think of it as a pitchfork, he's like from the backlands kind of thing.
Yeah, you know. And his magical ability is the only character throughout the entire series that wasn't a damage causing attack. It gave him health, so he would spawn these little apples that he would eat, and the other characters could eat as well if you were playing multiplayer, and it would actually give you health. So instead of attacking other characters, he would bring health. And in this game, they had amazing cutscenes when you would do your magic. Like when you do your fire magic, it would show villains, and they would be screaming, and their faces would be burnt off, and skeletons.
You know, and this is like one of those things that this game was so much more refined, mm-hmm. and like we mentioned, the graphics, and you know, the sound is great. It kind of beckons to Golden Axe 1 and 2, and the animation, everything, even the mm-hmm. Combos. When you start, you know, you start a combo against an enemy, there's more dynamicism in each combo that you do. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, there's probably only like 4 or 5 sets, but the game holds up very good. If you can find an arcade nowadays, mm-hmm. and they actually have this game, I mean, now you're coming into the very, you know, rare, you know, mm-hmm. chance that you're going to come across. But if you do, this game is definitely still fun. Well, holds up.
One of the other things that was really interesting about this game is as you're playing, you would come across paths where you could choose which direction you want to go. You could either head into a cave, or you could continue outside of the cave, and you didn't go back to those areas. So there would be areas of the game that would be unexplored. So it kind of gave you a reason to go back and play the game again and see what was going on in those different areas, which I thought was really interesting. Since it wasn't really done in any of the games before.
Yeah, so in the game, like we said, came out in 1992. So this is leaps and bounds over the previous two games, and I think made a pretty good had pretty good reception. And like I said, if I don't know if it's in on any virtual console game systems or anything like that.
I don't know.
But if it is, download it. It's a great kind of beat 'em up for, you know, a few friends to play together.
I mean, if you think from 1989 when the first one came out to 1992, in those 3 years, there was a huge progression in the game. I mean, and I think that's what people wanted.
Were kind of stepping into the next generation of arcade graphics and beat 'em ups.
Right,
and
then
you
had 3 that came out a year after Revenge of Death Adder, and it was a total, like, barely different than 2.
So I think people were a little tired of it at that point. And already now, Streets of Rage and some of these, mm-hmm. you know, games that were off the hook for the time had already been out. And it's like, mm-hmm. why go back to something so basic and so, like, primitive, actually? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, why they probably didn't even bother bringing it here, you know, the Mega Drive version, other than the SegaNet stuff. So we're going to play a few tracks from The Revenge of Death Adder. Our composers are Masanori Takeuchi and Tomoyuki Kawamura. And the first track we're going to play is In a Fortress. And following that, we're going to play Hope for Tomorrow.
Okay, and once again, the tracks you just heard were In a Fortress and Hope for Tomorrow.
From the arcade Revenge of Death Adder. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so just kind of, you know, conclude, kind of summarize everything we've talked about. We talked about Golden Axe for the arcade, for Sega Genesis Mega Drive. Talked about Golden Axe 2. Which was for the Mega Drive, Genesis, and then ported over to the Mega Play. And then we had some Golden Axe 3, and then the Revenge of Death Adder. If you were going to go back and play any of these games, which one would you recommend the most?
I would say that I definitely want to go back to Revenge of Death Adder and see where down the path.
We should play that through together.
Yeah. That might be a good one to make a playthrough video of.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. So,
it's a great multiplayer. So.
Yeah. And it, like we were saying earlier, it holds up today and it's a good game. I'd say Golden Axe 2 is probably another one that I mm-hmm. think you should go back and play. If they, you know, re-release it, it'd be worth, you know,
if it ever shows
$5
on Virtual Console.
Definitely.
Or something like that.
So that about wraps up today's episode. So you can visit us online at pixelatedaudio.com. Feel free to leave your feedback or comments for us on the episodes that we post and the articles.
You can also email us, and we're on Twitter at pixelatedaudio.
And eventually we're going to be doing some YouTube playthroughs and commentating on those and having those posted on the website as well. In the meantime, if you would leave some feedback or rate us on iTunes, we'd appreciate it, and look forward to the next episode. Taking us out, we're actually going to take a step back from all the arcade and console games, and we're actually going to play an OC Remix track. by Diggy D's. And the track, ocremix.org, if you haven't been there, check out. I mean, chances are, if you're interested in this podcast, you're probably very much aware of OC Remix, but we can't plug it enough. It's a great website. And
there's some great stuff on there.
Yeah, I mean, just tons of stuff. They release full albums and stuff like that they do for compilations. The track that we're going to play is from Golden Axe 2. He actually remixed the Battle track, and it's called Axe Wielding Dwarf. Thanks again for listening. This is Pixelated Audio.